is Jim Setzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with Kevin Barrett, where you can catch the Boy Wonder here on Mondays and Fridays, and I'm here the rest of the week. My special guest today is a musician, a composer, an expert on digital processing. He's done some of the best work on video fakery and the question of planes or no planes of anyone in the 9/11 research community. It's a pleasure to welcome him back on the show after long absence. Ace Baker. Ace, it's a pleasure.
Hello. Good to be back again.
Terrific. We got a little background noise there. I'll have to ask the station to clear it up when we have our break. Ace, tell me what you've been up to lately. I know you made a trip to Europe. Did you complete work on the documentary you're putting together?
I am working hard on it. It's not done. I'm trying to make it something brilliant and tell the whole story of 9/11, including the history of the truth movement and up through and including the video compositing that was done and the disinformation campaign, the cover-up. The film is called 9/11, The Great American Psy Opera. So it started out being the story of searching for what happened, and then it turns into the story of the people involved and trying to figure out really who's telling the truth and who's not. It's very, very graphics intensive, which is why it's taking a long time, and I'm working hard on the music as well. I anticipate another maybe 3-4 weeks, and I should have it pretty together.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. I think the theme of the great PSYOP is actually completely appropriate, because every aspect of this seems to be riddled with fakery, special effects, lies, deceit, deception. I mean, if you strip it all away, you're going to find that the actual truth is relatively simple.
And you know, one of the main underlying themes of my film is for people to just remember to contemplate the significance of video compositing technology in the hands of government. We know that government always avails itself of the most powerful weapons that it can get its hands on, and so that's certainly true with missiles and satellites and so forth. There's no reason to think that they wouldn't avail themselves of video trickery and being able to insert false images into news events. And so it will be to continually remind people that what you see on television may not depict reality.
Yes, yes, yes. It looks as though today there's a dirty trick going on with some purported problem with FAA computers, so that you have like 5,000 flights up there that need information about how to land. They're claiming it isn't a safety problem, but it's a massive distraction from guess what's going on in Denver right now. I mean, these people are so transparent, it's unbelievable.
Well, what's going on in Denver?
The Democratic Convention?
Oh, is it? Okay. I don't necessarily keep up to speed with
Well,
government.
Carolyn Kennedy, Michelle Obama all gave terrific talks last night. And tonight we're going to see what Hillary has to say. She's been very lukewarm in her endorsement of Barack Obama, and I've even been inclined to believe that she and her husband might try to steal the nomination for her at the convention, but we'll see about that. Tell me, Ace, do you have some stuff we can look at on your website?
Sure. Go to acebaker.blogspot.com.
acebaker.blogspot.com. Okay. On there?
Now I've been getting actually a great deal of attention for something that I did while I was in Europe. My film is going to have a number of, it's a DVD, of course, and there'll be a number of learn more buttons.
You're going to have appendices or elaboration as separate sections.
Right. And one of them is going to be if someone is interested in learning how they actually do the video compositing. We can learn that. So I've recreated, several months ago, I recreated how they did the live compositing and explained the compositional features that are required for that, and pointed out that the two live videos had each had all nine of the compositional characteristics required for live compositing.
You're talking about Herzog Kahne and Evan Fairbanks?
No. Those were not live at all. The two live ones were Chopper 5 and Chopper 7.
Okay.
No, Herzog Kahne, Fairbanks, and all the other ones came out. Herzog Kahne and Fairbanks came out on 9/11, but not for quite a few hours after the fact, which is plenty of time to get the compositing done.
Yeah, and while they wanted to have authentic images of the buildings, I'm sure.
Right. Well, the shots are completely authentic shots, except for the airplanes that were composited into them. So, you know, there's the explosion that happens. The fireball is perfectly real.
A staged effect, a special effect.
Well, I think so. You know, we know that the fireproofing upgrade that was reported in the NIST report that took place in both of those towers in the couple years prior to 9/11 was in the exact areas of the buildings, coincidentally, where those alleged airplanes allegedly crashed. It was up in the, you know, from in the nine, the floors in the 90s in the North Tower, and somewhat lower floors in the 70s and 80s in the South Tower. And that's just too coincidental that there were people stripping walls with access to the steel for months on end, putting on fireproofing, and that just happens to be where these planes hit. No, they were putting explosives, cannons, and whatever, you know, whatever kinds of pyrotechnics they needed to make their big Hollywood special effect, and that's when they did it, and that's how they did it. They had the means, motive, and the opportunity.
Well, there had to be some cold-blooded operatives involved in this thing, and these people who'd be willing to bring about this kind of devastation.
I think it's soldier mentality, and you would be much more qualified to speak on this than I. I've not been in the military. You're a former Marine Corps officer. I think human beings can be taught and can come to believe that they're serving a greater good. And, you know, again, that might be something that you could speak on more than I. But I know that soldiers do it. And somehow or another, little boys and even little girls get transformed into people who can pull the trigger.
Hey, just a suggestion. I got a friend who has some military experience who suggested that the fireballs look to him like napalm.
Right, might very well be. Might very, very well be. It's some kind of a hydrocarbon. It's certainly nothing that could come anywhere near cutting steel. I know that much. It's a big, rather hot flame, orange, yellow explosion that's nowhere near moving air fast enough to cut steel, which is actually very, very important point in proving that the Herzog Kahne video is fake, because, of course, we...
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. Ace, my special guest today is a musician, a composer, an expert on digital processing, and one of the foremost experts on video fakery on 9/11, Ace Baker. Ace, we are at your site here at acebaker.blogspot.com. I noticed you have a short clip. I don't mean to cut you off, by the way, where we were leaving off. You were talking about a couple of things. One was the elements that you found in the videos that were broadcast live that are indicative of compositing. And then you were continuing to explain just how this kind of fakery is done.
Right. Well, we can, go to the Blogspot and scrolled on the right side on the menu under July, the first or the top post under July, theory of edited non-live 9/11 airplane video.
Okay.
This was actually getting so many downloads this month, it shut down my site for a minute. I
Really?
Yeah, over a terabyte of downloads. It was pretty...
It's got a soundtrack, right?
Say again?
It has a soundtrack.
Yeah, it does. We can play this or...
Yeah, I was thinking I'd like to play it. I see it's 5 minutes, 6 seconds. I can go ahead and play it, and then we can talk about it.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'll do a countdown. I'm going to start it in 3, 2, 1, now.
I believe there's like 8 seconds of blank at the beginning. I maybe should have cut out there, but then it's going to go.
We're going to learn how CNN composited the ghost plane footage. The first step is to stabilize the footage and remove the camera motion. The software analyzes each frame of video and shifts it around until the background is motionless. And it keeps track of that information in a graph like this that shows how far each frame was shifted. That's going to be important later on, as we'll see. And the result is this. The towers are held stationary in the background. Next, we'll add a plane. This is a stock 767 in Google SketchUp. And I've animated the view of the plane. You see the view changes slightly and the shadows wrap around a little bit. I've colored it red so it'll stick out and added some motion blur. And we insert it into the shot, give it a nice stable motion path. And we can adjust the scale of the airplane as the shot goes forward, making it go from larger to smaller so that it appears to get farther away from us. Oops, that's a little too much, but I can tweak that down a little bit. There, that's better. And the result is the plane flies straight across. Next, we need to disappear the plane into a layer mask. That's the outline of the mask in red. And the result is that the plane just disappears into that area. Here I've stopped it sort of half in, half out. You see that familiar look. Next, we need to add some shadows. Now, shadows can be calculated by software. I'm getting a little impatient, so I'm just going to hand paint them in Photoshop and throw something in there. You can see there's a little dark area that occurs below and to the left of where the plane goes in. That last little spot doesn't even belong there. I should probably get rid of that, but I'm going to hurry. I'm just going to leave it in there and see what happens. Next, we need to add some information that sort of represents a hole in the side of the tower. So I've taken the image of the actual hole that did occur to the tower later on, scaled it in there, and I've drawn a mask around it. And I've even gone and animated the shape of the mask over time so that the hole appears to grow larger and grow into that final shape that I drew. And the result is that the plane appears to disappear into this jagged hole. And we don't see any parts of the plane breaking off or any parts of the building breaking, so I'm going to try to cover a bunch of stuff up. Apple Motion has a large library of particle emitters. They give us things like smoke clouds, explosions, and dust explosions, and so forth. You can just simply drag and drop that information in, but you can also copy and paste information from existing video, which is what I'm going to do here. I've taken the dust explosions from the original ghost plane footage, wherever that may have come from originally, isolated it and pasted it in, covering up the nose and the engines and the hole and whatever else I didn't actually care for. And the final step is to unstabilize the footage and put back in the camera motion that we took out in the beginning. The software flips the stabilized information and applies it to everything. After we add back in the horrified voices, the result is footage that's every bit as convincing as the original ghost plane footage, which is to say, not completely convincing. In both shots, we don't see any parts of the airplane breaking or bending or twisting. And we don't see any parts of the building actually breaking off. We see a hole in the building that sort of fades in. We see puffballs that just sort of magically appear. And so there are two lessons here. One is the technical lesson, learning just how this type of compositing is done. And secondly, the psychological lesson, which is that if the great masses of people are sufficiently traumatized, they'll believe anything.
There you go.
Keith, I think that's simply terrific. You know, it convinces me that persons out there who are critics of video fakery, who actually know something about videos and their production, are complete frauds, because this is so effortless. It's so easy to do this. You did it, you know, perfectly, and you are being impatient about it.
Right, on a laptop. And however, you know, it points out how easy it is to do, but it also points out what's not quite right. And
yeah.
To actually make a realistic airplane crash, I actually do that.
Good. Well, we'll come back to that. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest today is a musician, a composer, and an expert on video fakery. And every time I have him on, I learn something new and fascinating. This study of how it was done, Ace, is absolutely convincing. If I might draw a parallel, I find this just as significant and persuasive as your simulations of the work of John Hutchison. It's just, to me, that this can be done so effortlessly is very telling.
And right before the break, what I was getting ready to say is that duplicating the ghost plane footage was doable. I did do it. I've known for some time I could do it. And but yet, if I were to actually try to duplicate a real airplane crash, I could not do it. And that's one of the things that just hit me to where I knew that this was a fake video, because I knew I could do that. If I start thinking about actually trying to animate a real plane crash with parts breaking off, all of a sudden, that's beyond my ability.
Yeah, you'd have to know a great deal about the structure of the plane and how it would break up, what parts would go where, and all that would require a tremendous amount of information about the exact conditions of the impact and all that. I think that's a wonderful point.
Oh, I mean, a little piece of the wing breaks off, and then how do you get the motion? You know, it's going to rotate in 3D, and then gravity, you know, it's going to bounce back, and then gravity's going to take it down this way. To say nothing of the fact it needs to match actual real pieces that are really found at the scene of the crime. But even just trying to animate, they can do it. I think people have done fairly realistic animations of very complicated things like that, but that's a whole order more complex than what I did here. And that's how I knew it. It's like, wait a minute, I can do that, and yet I couldn't do a real plane crash. So that's just yet another reason I know this isn't a real plane crash.
Yeah.
And you mentioned John Hutchison, so I hadn't had any real contact with him for quite a while, since I came out and sort of demonstrated that he's another video faker. But fairly recently, I thought of a way that I think I can convince a lot of people that Hutchison is a faker. So on my blog, there's the $100,000 Hutchison Effect Challenge, and it's pretty simple. Hutchison still claims that he can duplicate, that he can reproduce his Hutchison effect. He said on your show that he's been doing it, I think he said, fairly regularly or something like that now. And
replicating his effects, that's what he's claiming?
That's what he said on your show. I listened to the tape just a few days ago, and I think the phrase was fairly regularly now. Something like that. I can go and research it, but he says he's still able to do it. Of course, for a long time, he said it was hit and miss. He was able to to do it, and then he couldn't, and then he could, and then he couldn't, and then he had to rebuild his laboratory. Stuff was confiscated. But in any case, I've offered to reward him with $100,000 if he can actually demonstrate his effect and allow videotape it. And I just don't see a reason in the world why he wouldn't take me up on that challenge.
Ought to be taking candy from a baby if he's legit.
And I put forth some of the details. If I just want to go there, I want to have access to his laboratory. I want to be able to look around. If what's under the table, what's behind here, that sort of thing. And then have him briefly explain what exactly his apparatus is, and what he's doing, and then to have him make the steel wrench fly up off the table like it shows in his video. I mean, if he can do that, and I have, I don't want to give up $100,000, but I'm pretty sure it's a pretty safe bet on my part. If I've been, getting the hate correspondence from Andrew Johnson and so forth. Now, I need to try to find, if you go to Andrew's site, which is checktheevidence.com, of course, after I came out with the Hutchison debunking back in January, he wrote his Ace in the Hole article. Well, he's got Ace in the Hole Part 2 on his homepage.
Do you want us to go there, or you just want to mention that it's there?
Let me find it, because he's got. I did not personally hear from John Hutchison, but there is apparently Hutchison contacted Andrew Johnson and answered me. I'm scrolling down his page here, and I'll just read.
Checktheevidence.com.
Checktheevidence.com redirects to his new address.
Yeah,
that should work
in the UK.
Yeah, so...
Oh, 9/11 to Hutchison effect, the Ace in the Hole Part 2. What is the real motive? Oh, that's great. I love it when people start speculating on motives.
Well, and I'll answer that question. The motive is actually very simple. The motive is to get people to believe that Hutchison is a fake. That's my motive. And I think it's an effective way to accomplish that. He goes into a lot of things. Why don't I do this? Why wouldn't I do that? What about the magnometer readings? What about Hurricane Aaron? What about this? What about that? And it really doesn't have anything to do with any of that. My challenge is much narrower. It's that. But anyway, here's what Hutchison said. Hi, Ace Hobbit. Fantastic. If you can make that Canadian dollars, and for $150,000, what I'll do is teach you how to run it, I guess, his apparatus, and you can have it, and you can do your own anti-gravity. It saves me the hassle of putting it on eBay again. I might even throw in the gun collection. I don't know what that is, but it's all yours, approved through a lawyer, proper legalese, more or less, that what I posted, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So so he's saying, no, send me 100. Now, I think it's 100. It's either $150,000 or $150. I'm not sure, because it's what's written here is 150.000.
Yeah, but sometimes you dot instead of comma in foreign, notation. That's all. So
but
yeah, he means $150,000.
Well, then maybe it's $150. I don't know.
No, he means $150,000. There are three zeros, right?
Yeah.
He means $150,000, of course.
I guess, but anyway. So what he's, what he's saying is, here, you send me money. I'll teach you how to do it. You do it. Well, wait a minute. I'm not the one who claims to be able to defy gravity. He is. I even if it was $150, no, I don't have a place to put a Tesla coil or whatever it is. And of course, all he would do is it wouldn't work, and he'd say, "Well, you must have done something wrong. You put the wire on the whatever it is," and So anyway.
Well, I noticed this thing here by Andrew Johnson is saying how different I was in my attitude toward John Hutchison when he came on the show. But I don't typically have someone on the show who's whose credentials and qualifications are suspicious. I mean, I've had from multiple sources that what he was doing is widely regarded as fakery, so I had an obligation to try to find out a little bit about who the guy is, and he was extremely evasive. So I don't think there's anything unusual. It would have been the same if I had somebody else, another guest on the show, whose credentials were suspect and I was trying to find out who they are, which is something that Judy Wood, Andrew Johnson, and others don't seem to have processed. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Dynamic Duo. I'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. Today, my special guest, Ace Baker, and I are discussing video fakery on 9/11 and some challenges he's made in relation to John Hutchison's work and other related issues. Ace, where shall we continue?
Well, so that was that. And then corresponding to me, Andrew Johnson asked, well, you know, why don't I challenge the television stations? And I actually thought that was a good idea. It's actually an idea I had already had. And so I've also challenged WNYW, that's Fox 5 in New York, to release and to license a broadcast quality copy of Chopper 5, and I've offered them $100,000 for that. I am very confident that too will never happen, because I think they have, you know, way, way too much at stake, and that particular piece of footage is just too incriminating. That was just one of the few mistakes that they actually made on 9/11, when Kai Simonson let the darn nose of the airplane slip out the layer mount. That was just a big oops, and they started the shot too late. You know, they were zoomed out, and they were supposed to be zoomed in to begin with. There's no plane in the shot, in the wide shot, and the whole thing. So, and for anyone that doesn't know, you know, licensing news footage is routinely done. There's a fee associated with it. You know, it can be a couple thousand dollars to license a clip, but it's not unusual at all for documentary filmmakers or others to license news footage. And the fact that this particular piece of very historic video is unavailable at any price, I think, speaks volumes, because WNYW is a business. They are partly in the business of licensing footage. They have a whole archive department, as does every news outfit. They license footage. That's one of their businesses. They won't license this piece of footage at any price. And I just think that's very, very significant.
So, yeah, it is. That's extremely suspicious. I mean, if this were all legit, they ought to be wildly enthusiastic that you're offering $100,000 for them to give it to you.
That's right. So
their attitude ought to be precisely the opposite.
That's right. Exactly. You know, it ought to be whatever side.
It's like all the Bush cover-ups. If they had nothing to hide, they'd be glad to provide those emails. Instead, they've actually systematically destroyed them.
Right. Yeah. Exactly the same. You know. And so hopefully, you know, I can get at least people asking the right questions in my film. There is a quote from Thomas Pynchon from Gravity's Rainbow, and that book is about the Cold War and military intelligence in the early 60s. But he says, if they can get you to ask the wrong questions, they don't have to worry about answers.
Yeah,
and that I think is the secret of the 9/11 cover up. There are so many people out there trying to get us to ask the wrong questions. So hopefully I can at least get people asking, you know, the right questions.
Oh, and I think the disinfo, I mean, you know, the massive attacks on those who are doing things like we're doing, just to be talking about video fakery and planes or no planes, you know, is forbidden in relation to 9/11 orthodoxy. And you wonder what all else is forbidden. For example, to talk about indication of Israeli involvement in 9/11, and to discuss the motives the Bush administration had for bringing about 9/11.
It's clear, I think, to understand why that is, because even if you think 9/11 was an inside job, but you still hold on to real planes, You can imagine that it was pulled off by a rogue element of the Bush-Cheney administration, and they caught the news media unaware, just like the rest of us. And here in just a few months, those guys are going to be out of town, gone forever, and we can feel like maybe, the vermin have been exterminated and everything's okay again. Whereas when you understand what really happened, you understand that changing the administration does not change the power structure. The real power structure is the central bank and the media and the military intelligence community, and those people don't go away. They are an ongoing interest group. And this is an idea, actually, that's occurred to me fairly recently, and I want to bring it up before it slips my mind. That is another reason that they did video compositing rather than using real planes. Of course, the main reason is real planes would not penetrate the tower. They would explode on the side and just wouldn't do what they needed. But another great reason to do it with video trickery is to involve, as conspirators, the media from the get-go, to put blood on the hands of these people in key positions in the media to guarantee their cooperation over the long run. When you involve, when people are in on it from the beginning, they can't defect because they're in.
Yeah, that's why they recruited Nixon into the cabal to take out JFK. They wanted to make sure anyone who was going to become president who might succeed Lyndon would not be inclined to reopen the investigation.
Exactly. And this is, it's a strategy they've known for, forever and ever and ever. It's probably as old as history itself, the basic principles of this stuff. But anyway.
Just an added comment, AC. I think that they're ferocious about this and about Israeli involvement because those are revealing of the methods that they use. If they count on Israeli operatives to pull off some of these operations, and I have absolutely no doubt about it, and if in fact they're using video fakery to deceive us regularly, like, regarding events in the Middle East and so forth, that's what they don't want disclosed, because then it tends to undermine the effectiveness of resorting to those mechanisms. If you know how much video fakery is used, then you're going to be not as credulous and not as gullible when they try to perform it again.
And that hopefully is what people are going to take away from my film, is to simply think twice about everything that's presented to you on television. We're still at a point where certain things are possible to fake, certain other things are not. But it's to raise an eyebrow with anything. Question everything. Don't necessarily believe any picture, any video that you see right away, because we have the technology and there's every motive in the world to use it. So why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Well, even, sites like the 9/11 blogger have just become enforcers of the orthodoxy with a very, very narrow vision. They're throwing off people who are perfectly good because of their alleged, relationship to other people. I mean, Kevin Barrett was given the axe because he had attended my conference, but so did Jim Mars, so did Barbara Honegger, so did Dave Von Kleist. So, these people are being quite ridiculous, and the traffic there, Ace, interestingly, has gone down like about 95%.
Right. Well, I think it's time that we have to start, thinking about, there's another quote that's going to occur throughout my movie, and that, of course, is the famous Vladimir Lenin, which is, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves.
Yes.
This has been known for a long, long time.
Yeah.
It's unthinkable. Government would not infiltrate the 9/11 movement and lead it to oblivion.
Stand by. We'll be right back, and we'll be taking your calls. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo with my special guest, Ace Baker. My special guest today is a composer, a musician, an expert on digital processing, and one of the leading authorities on video fakery on 9/11. His name is Ace Baker. And he's taking your calls. The call-in number is 866-582-9933. 866-582-9933. And Ace, we have a call from Canada. John from Canada. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi, Jim. And hi, Ace. Good to be able to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm glad you called in.
I'd like to talk about Ace's work, which I've enjoyed, and some of the things that have been happening between Ace and Andrew and Judy Wood and the Hutchison effect. But firstly, you said something last week, and I only caught it briefly, that Dynamic Duo is going to be leaving GCN pretty soon. And
in about 6 weeks.
Right. Can you say anything about why that's happening?
Sure. Well, the way they explained it to me is that they've got another show lined up, three guys who have a show they call Animal House, and they're willing to pay to be on the air. Of course, I not only don't pay to be on the air, I'm not paid to be on the air. So, you know, whether there's anything else to it, you'll have to be the judge. Certainly the GCN in general is a rather conservative network if you just listen, and very religious oriented if you just listen to the commercials, some of which really rankle me, so that on more than one occasion I've put in a call to the owner of the network to tell him how inappropriate I thought some of them were. But that seems to be the deal. They did offer me and Kevin 1 hour later in the evening, but I don't think that really, you know, fit what we're trying to do, so... That's the latest. I think the last show is the 9th of October, but I'll verify that.
Okay. Well, I sure hope you'll find another home to keep doing this kind of work, because I subscribe to GCN and pay their subscription to the archives because mainly because of the Dynamic Duo. And,
yeah.
The only other thing I'm really ever downloading now is Webster Tarpley, and that's like one thing a week.
Yeah. Well, I might mention, John, that actually they replay the show for 24 hours after each show, so you can actually go there and get it on demand, and you might be able to download it without having to subscribe.
Right. Well, I guess I might do that with Webster's show if you guys end up elsewhere, and I don't say there's anything on GCN that I really want that to hear. But so if I can deal with Ace and the other topics, I really appreciate Ace's video fakery work, and this last video that he did, Ace, is excellent. And I just downloaded the high quality version from Ace's website.
Yeah,
and that's really neat because you can see things a lot. You can see what's going on a lot more clearly than you can on the YouTube version.
Yeah,
I found it's you're having to take more on faith because you can't see clearly what Ace is doing, but when you download his high-quality version, you can follow it a lot better.
Well, you know, I really appreciate your appreciation for the show because this kind of, you know, analysis, trying to dig deeper, trying to sort things out, it seems to me is very uncommon. I mean, you know, I don't know of any show like it. I mean, there are lots of propaganda outlets or people who are doing a lot of venting, but we're really trying to come to grips with the evidence and figure out what it all means.
Yeah, and your background in the philosophy of science is obviously a big advantage in having a host that has that background.
Yeah, having taught logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning for 35
years. Referee the hashing out of these issues. But getting to one point where I am concerned about Ace's work on John Hutchison, and
sure.
I'm not convinced that the Hutchison effect is real. I'm not calling in as somebody who's
right.
Who is convinced that it's real, but when Ace said a little while ago that he proved that Hutchison was a fraud, I think that Ace's video only proves that a video artist like Ace can produce a video that looks similar to the videos online that Hutchison has posted online.
Right.
And, you know, the Hutchison video could have been produced in the way that Hutchison claims or in the way that Ace produced his copy video, if I can call it that.
I think that's a very fair point, John. I mean, I'll invite Ace to respond to it, of course, but I think that what you are saying is logically impeccable.
Right. And then so going on to what's happened with the latest challenge, I read on Andrew Johnson's site the piece that Ace referred to, and I find that my reaction to it is that the two guys are being unduly testy with each other because neither trusts the other. Ace is convinced that Hutchison is a fraud and that Andrew is helping promote a fraud, and Andrew is convinced that because Ace said that his video proved that Hutchison was a fraud, that Ace's motivation is suspect.
And yeah, well, let me get Ace in here before we have to go to another break. Ace, please do. Open up.
Well, I think we need to distinguish between ordinary claims and extraordinary claims. The claim that we can take cameras and put them upside down so that objects appear to fall upwards instead of down, this is an ordinary claim. We know how to do this. People have been doing this kind of stuff in films for decades now, whereas the claim that I have an anti-gravity device is an extraordinary claim. The burden of proof is clearly on the person who's making an extraordinary claim. He needs extra evidence. Now, there are just certain effects that I can recognize with my eyeballs. And when you see something falling upwards, it's just reasonable to assume it's falling down the way things actually fall on Earth, and the camera's upside down. Ever since we saw the Fred Astaire movie where they actually built the room and the entire room rotates around along with the camera and he danced on the ceiling, that's a type of an effect that we recognize when we see it.
Hey, let me ask you that, Ace. How was it done? I mean, believe it or not, that was the question was right in my mind before you started talking about it.
Oh, the Fred Astaire?
Yeah.
Right, and I have it on one of my blog entries or on my YouTube. Fred Astaire's dancing across his apartment. Then he
right, up the wall, and then on the ceiling.
He goes up the wall first and on the ceiling. The entire room, without a front, was mounted on a rotating chassis so that it could rotate around the Z-axis, right?
Oh, and create centrifugal force that would enable him to walk up the wall?
No. It would rotate very, very slowly, but the camera and the lights all rotate, were mounted to the room along with it, so they would slowly rotate the room upwards. He would dance on the sidewall, which was now down, and then
it was now the floor,
which the ceiling was now down. But because they're rotating the camera around with the room, you're not aware of that motion.
Uh-huh.
And Hutchison has a little room, like a miniaturized version of that, and so he can flip the whole room around. But because the camera is flipping around with the room, and because every room except for his little subject is glued down so nothing moves relative to the room itself, relative to the walls, so he can rotate the whole thing around.
Fascinating. Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker, and our caller, John from Canada. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duel. My special guest today, Ace Baker, is a musician, a composer, an expert on digital processing, and among the leading authorities on video fakery on 9/11. We have a caller, John, from Canada, and we have a couple others standing by. John, is there anything else you'd like to add? I really appreciate your call today.
Okay, well, I guess just that I'd like to see Ace and the other side work out the challenge. I don't want Ace to lose his $100,000. But at the same time, I don't want Hutchison's effect to be discounted on grounds that aren't valid.
Yeah.
And I take a lot of, faith from Judy Wood. Judy Wood believes that Hutchison effect is real. She has visited Hutchison. She has looked at samples of his damaged metal samples and that sort of thing. And she's also, and you Jim, have been the one that has given the widest viewing of her evidence, made her kind of famous more than anyone else, as you've gone through the evidence on her website, the different photos, and definitely what it tells me is that things happened on 9/11 through technologies that are in some way black arts. They're not...
Yeah.
They're not acknowledged. They're not things that are generally accepted as doable or possible. And yet she shows you, well, here's this these pictures, and here's what we see. And then she believes that Hutchison's effects are related, that the that Hutchison's effects and whatever was used on 9/11 are tapping into similar black technologies, non-recognized conventionally. And sure, if Hutchison was out there saying, I can prove for sure such and so, the onus is on him, as Ace said. But from what I gather, he's a little tinkerer out in Vancouver, living on peanuts with no formal education to speak of. And he hasn't been going out there trying to promote himself wildly. People have come after him, and he does have at least some documents indicating that the military of Canada and the U.S. have been taking an interest in his work for decades.
So, well, I appreciate your call, John. Incidentally, the station just notified me because of your inquiry that actually, they working out the details, they may just want to take Kevin and me to 1 hour instead of two, that we just have our first hour instead of our first and second, so they can introduce this other program following us. So, and that would not happen until the 20th of October, so we'll just have to see. I'll talk to Kevin about it and see, you know, how that would work.
Okay. Well, that's good news as far as it goes.
Thank you for calling.
Righto. Thanks.
Ace, what would you like to add to what John was saying?
I think if Hutchison really can, produce this effect, he should take me up on my challenge. And my goal in bringing this to a head is to convince people. And first and foremost, I don't think that Judy believes in it. Unfortunately, I've come to the opinion that Judy Wood is fits right into the model of disinformation. But on the chance that she actually has fallen for it, this would be an opportunity to convince her that she was taken for a ride. It does not discount the work that Judy Wood has done. Judy Wood, above all other people on Earth, has been the one to show us what actually happened and the level of destruction that happened at the World Trade Center. She's absolutely right that the towers were dustified. She's absolutely right that metal beams were bent in strange ways. She's absolutely right that they had to do it that way because they couldn't risk cracking the bathtub. And she's absolutely right that these cars burned and toasted in bizarre ways. But there's no Hutchison effect.
Listen, we got another caller here and yet another standing by. Rudy from Michigan. Rudy, you're on the Dynamic Duo.
How you doing?
Good.
I got a question for Ace.
Go.
Ace, I was wondering, when you say no planes, what do you mean by no planes? Do you mean no airliners? Do you mean no planes at all?
Right, I'm glad you asked that, because the term no planes and no planers is kind of a misnomer. It really means no plane crashes. I think, when I say no planes and no plane crashes, I say, and I have written, that there were no flying objects of any kind that came through the air. And you can go to my blog and find the article, No Flying Objects. And live video compositing, for that to happen, rules out a flying object coming through the air, because you would have to cover up, literally cover up, whatever real object was there with the video image. And you can do that, but it requires editing time to do it. That cannot, with today's technology and with 2001 technology, it's not possible to do what's called motion tracking and do it reliably enough to cover up a real object. So, but I believe there absolutely were real flights that took off that day, but I think they were hijacked by special ops, landed at places like Stewart Air Force Base, and replaced with false radar blips. And it was the radar blips that were flown into those towers and not anything else.
It's really interesting, Rudy, because I think Killtown, for example, believes there were flying things other than planes. And I'm very skeptical about whether they're wearing planes at all. I mean, Elias Davidson's study showing the government has no evidence whatsoever any hijackers were on those planes, and a whole host of other considerations suggest to me that the possibility that there were these planes were phantoms is a real one.
Well, here's the reason I'm asking. I wanted to see what Ace's explanation was of Pfeiffer standing there for the first plane crash, and the group looks up at the plane going overhead. I would think that either they saw a plane, which they were looking at in the video, and it crashed into the building, or they're putting on an act for the attack.
Yeah. Well, actually, Ace has a little piece of footage about that right on his website.
I do? Yeah, maybe.
Under model of disinformation. Yeah, I looked at it earlier, and it's only 15 seconds long.
Right. Well, that's brand new. I mean, and there's a little article that explains, you know, the disinformation if you're trying to get people to believe something which is false. You break it up into pieces, and I represent that with a jigsaw puzzle video effect. And then you surround true things with a bunch of false information so that people will throw out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak.
Stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. We got our caller, Rudy from Michigan, still on the line. Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest today is a musician, composer, expert in digital processing, and an authority on video fakery on 9/11, Ace Baker. And we have a caller, Rudy from Michigan. I'd just like to mention for the audience that I called Kevin to tell him the proposal that we go to an hour starting on the 20th of October, and tentatively we're inclined to do that, so that the reports of the demise of the show on October 9th appear to have been premature. Rudy, is there anything you'd like to add?
I'd like to add that a lot of the firemen claim to have seen the plane, so it's hard for me to believe that there were no flights at all crashing into the building, or missiles or something. But I do have one more question for Ace. Just out of curiosity, Ace, I was wondering where you were on 9/11.
I was at home in Southern California. My oldest daughter was a first grader. It was like her she was going to a brand new school, and I was taking her to school and stuff like that.
And I was at home abed in Duluth, Minnesota, when our daughter in Bradenton called us up and said we better turn on the TV.
Right. Well, good talking to you guys.
Really, thank you for calling.
I really enjoy the show.
Terrific. Thank you. We also have another caller on the line, Sherelle from Virginia. Sherelle, you're on the show.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear the show will go on. It is the finest radio program on the air, at least from Tuesday to Thursday. I like Kevin too, but
you guys are
doing the groundbreaking work. Ace, good God, man. I mean, when I was growing up, I'm an engineer, and, you know, even in elementary and high school, learning the scientific method, learning how to break things down into smaller bits that are provable, learning, proofs, learning that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a PhD or a very talented composer, you can still apply those same principles. And I think your science is the best in the business, but really, really the best. And, Jim, I just love you, man. You guys are you know, keep me sane, you know, and, I'm just really glad that you're there.
You got to understand, Ace and I hate calls like this because they shake up our paradigm.
Yeah,
no, it's really good of you to call and say those things. Honest to God, I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been fun, you know. Well, I mean, as much fun as a death of 3,000 people can be. But
trying to figure it out is quite a mystery, isn't it? It's a real puzzle.
It really is, you know, and there's lots of exciting things happening, and more people are getting hip to the truth. I was just catching a little bit of MSNBC, and Alex Jones and his crew are down there drowning them out at the Democratic Convention. You know, 9/11 truth signs everywhere, screaming 9/11 and it is an inside job so loud that the guests are having to shout. It's just, it was really fun. I'm
fascinated.
Totally multitasking here.
Yeah.
But, I keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Wait,
I really appreciate the call.
I really can't wait for the movie.
Yeah, me neither. This is terrific. Excellent.
All right. Blessings, guys.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Ace, listen, we got a segment and a half left. I think this whole thing about your model of disinformation is simply excellent. Explain how you get the acceptance of a false narrative and or bring about the rejection of a true one. I think that's very, very good. Okay, I would use this in the course on critical thinking if I were still teaching it.
Right, and so that's the basic idea is to broadly speaking, there's two kinds of disinformation: either trying to get you to believe a false idea or trying to get you to disbelieve something that's actually true. And either way, you break the big picture up into smaller pieces, and then if it's true, you surround the true thing with lots of false stuff, the more absurd the better, and repackage it so that reasonable people encountering this story with all this absurd information in it will throw the whole thing away, including the one little piece that's actually true.
Yeah.
And then it's sort of the opposite idea in trying to get you to believe a false thing. You repackage the false ideas surrounded by true things that are irrelevant, like the NIST report. Jim Hoffman did a great job of pointing out that the NIST report is this mountain of irrelevant things, most of which are probably true. But, you know, if I'm trying to prove that the Earth is flat. Okay, here's my proof. 2 + 2 = 4. 6 + 9 = 15. The sky is blue. Okay, now, all of the things I said are correct. I didn't make a single error in my proof. But did I prove the Earth is flat? No, I didn't. I just spouted irrelevant things. And so I really, the NIST report is just like, getting you to just pay attention to irrelevant details.
Complete rubbish, the NIST report. Complete rubbish.
And well, yeah, of course, And then,
yeah.
I haven't had a chance, I guess. We now have the report on Building 7, is that right? Wow, yeah, I haven't had a chance to look at that. Now, sadly, this troubles me a lot. But I've been sort of applying this model of disinformation to some people in the truth movement, and I think there are a number of people who are trying to intentionally steer things into wrong directions and trying to either take the truth and get us to throw the truth away by surrounding it with nonsense or getting us to believe in false things. And for instance, my buddy and yours, Mr. John Lear. Now, John Lear is an excellent, very knowledgeable pilot. He's brilliant, really knows his stuff, and I think he's done an excellent job in explaining how it's either impossible or very, very unlikely that 767s could have gone over 500 miles an hour at low altitude. It's extremely unlikely that anybody could have controlled them either at the controls or remotely, and done an excellent job of that. But John Lear is also promoting the notion of live holograms to explain the presence of these airplanes. And as far as we know, it's physically impossible to project holograms into thin air.
Yeah.
All holograms require some medium on which to project them, like a plastic image. And, of course, John Lear also claims that there are millions of people living on the far side of the moon. to me, this is a perfect example. John Lear is not a lunatic in reality. He's extremely sane. He is extremely intelligent, and I think the idea is to create this character who appears to be a lunatic, who thinks there's people on the moon, so that reasonable people will encounter John Lear, and including his correct argument about the impossibility of the airplane speeds, and will take the whole package and just throw it out, including the true parts. And I think that's an example of how this works.
Yeah,
I would like to be proven different. I'd like to believe that John Lear is is really a true secret. We'll see.
So would I. So would I. Ace, stand by. We'll be right back with my special guest, Ace Baker. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo. My special guest today is Ace Baker, who is a musician, composer, and expert on digital processing. We're talking about video fakery. Ace, we got two more callers, and I'll try and keep them concise. Robert from San Francisco, you're on the air.
Hey, just wanted to call. I heard that statement that you might be going off the air when you were talking to Barbara Honegger. I also heard you and Barbara getting very excited about Barack Obama. And with all that intelligence and degrees and logic and philosophy, I'm shocked.
Okay.
I got to say that because if you've seen Barack Obama talk about going after Al-Qaeda and going into Afghanistan and Pakistan and on and on and on and on and on. I don't know why anybody would believe anything about that guy. But
if the alternative is this McCain guy who's, in my opinion, after 5.5 years of torture at the hands of the North Vietnamese, which
is his claim to fame, has got to be emotionally and mentally warped.
You know,
I've heard that argument, and I don't buy that necessarily. I think he's an interesting, intelligent guy, but he's like he did a 180-degree turn as far as his ethics goes. Maybe sometime around September 11th. Look at him. You know, he hated Bush because of what Bush did to him in the last election. And also, look at Pelosi, how she can't stand up for impeachment or anything. These two have turned into jelly.
Well, listen, we may have a chance to do a political show here real soon.
I'm going to say one last thing. Can I say one last thing?
Yeah.
I think with all the brains that you all got, your technological guys have, I don't know why you don't break with GCN. I think they ghettoized the 9/11 movement. Not only that, there shouldn't be independent shows. I'd love to see a Barrett and Fetzer show, two people talking, maybe three people with Ace Baker and others.
We can do it. You give us some ideas. I'd be glad to hear from you.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Robert.
You're welcome.
We also have Brad from Kentucky. Brad, you're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air, Brad.
Oh, yes. I disagree with your guest. I know that we have the technology to fake all kinds of things, but I think there were just too many witnesses that actually saw planes.
Well, the truth of the matter is there are a whole lot fewer than you think. For example, you know, I know a woman in New York who's active in 9/11, and she says she knows lots of people who claim to know somebody who knows, but she can't find anybody to speak of who actually claims they saw the plane. Andrew Johnson, of whom we spoke, did a study of 500 witness reports collated by the New York Times and found they were all over the place. Very, very few said anything approximating what the official story is supposed to be. So I don't know who you're supposed to believe when you get to these witness reports, because there are planes, no planes. One saw a rocket fired from the Woolworth building into the North Tower. I mean, I'm just telling you, they're all over the place.
Well, who actually recorded the footage of the planes?
So now you're talking about the videos?
Yeah.
Well, I'll turn over that to Ace. Ace, go for it.
Right. Well, there's approximately 30-odd videos of the alleged second strike. So, there are a great number of them that nobody takes credit for, which is suspicious really on its face.
You think that, yes, that they want to take credit for recording that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you'd think you'd be able to get broadcast-quality copies of them. But in most cases, all we have are YouTube flash videos. In a few cases, a few of them have been released on DVD, which are still have video compression, are still lower quality than they were originally shot at. But the actual original files, unavailable at any price.
Uh-huh. Kind of reminds me of when we supposedly landed on the moon, and the terrible quality of footage that was broadcast of the astronauts.
Well, and the fact and the fact that they didn't shoot any motion picture film at all on the moon, especially in the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth mission,
gets increasingly suspicious, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, all allegedly broadcast across 200,000 miles of space with, you know, with a television broadcast and recorded on Earth. And actually Jim and I talked about this once, and I found they developed a special color decoding format to do that, that actually required that the timing of different colors was separated out from one another, which would have the effect of making it impossible to actually go back and do very critical motion studies, because the motion in 1/6 gravity would actually be different than the motion of just slow motion, and those, I have to tell you, those moon videos look like slow motion to me. They don't look like 1/6 gravity. That really pains me, because while 9/11 is a terrible thing, going to the moon was a great thing. It really disappoints me, but unfortunately, I strongly believe they faked that.
So they use disinformation, Ace, to convince you that something that's false is true, and that something that's true is false.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's Kennedy, you know, and they took out frames in that video, and you see all the guys in the car's heads jerk forward.
Yeah.
That the car appears to go at a constant speed. What really happened was they stopped that car, then
turned it
back, and they pulled out again.
Well, I don't know. Are you any of you familiar with the principle of Occam's razor?
Sure.
Sure.
Do you agree? I mean, are you...
Well, the principle is that you should prefer the simplest theory that can account for all of the evidence. That's the catch.
Uh-huh.
It's not just the simplest theory, but the simplest theory that can explain all the evidence. And
well, I would also put another caveat that when it comes to that's to explain physical science facts. When you start talking about what people do, people can and do intentionally complicate things. You know, for the exact purpose of obfuscation. And so, you know, for instance, you know, the simplest explanation of World War II might be that Hitler was a lone madman who decided to conquer the world. It's more complicated to consider World War I and the agreement that Germany was forced to sign at that point in time, and the economic factors and so forth. That's even though more complicated, is probably a more historically accurate way to get your mind around World War II.
Well, I mean, I think it more likely applies to something as far as a simple explanation as far as, you know, why the World Trade Center buildings collapsed, you know.
They didn't collapse. They blew up.
Well,
towers, yeah, were polarized. But what are you thinking, Brad? Go ahead and tell
us. Well, I mean, say, for instance, this latest report that came out from NIST on as to why World Trade Center 7 came down.
Yeah.
You know, it's they use all these obscure reasons that are basically defy the laws of physics, in my opinion. And I just don't buy it, you know.
Well, Brad, you're on good grounds. I want to thank you for coming on. If we had a little more time, I'd keep you on a little longer. But I want to appreciate your calling.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. You call again sometime.
Okay, will do.
Well, I got to say, Ace, it's a real pleasure to have you here. We just haven't begun to cover the bases. Maybe we can line something up here for the near future.
I'm sure.
Can you hang on a sec after the show? I want to ask you something. Stand by. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on the Dynamic Duo, just concluding a conversation with Ace Baker. I hope to have him back very soon. I want to thank everyone out there for listening.